Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. I don't even know where hour number one went. It's just, it's already gone. It's in the can. Speaking of in the can, JP actually takes the show every single day and podcasts it. It's in the can for you every day. If you miss something, you can always go back and get it. And then a lot of y'all are watching on live stream right now, and we certainly appreciate that. In fact, Roxanne from Harvest has texted in saying she's watching on Rumble. Everything's working great over there. So, and then Thomas Mathen says they need your technical wizardry back over there at WVNN, JP. Just saying. Oh, bless them.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back on the air in WVNN, apparently. By the way, I'll tell you this. I spoke to the general manager at both Auburn and Chattanooga, the two newest stations that we added, both of which said they've gotten great response. And then I got a text last night from somebody who said their parents live in Auburn, listen to the show down there, and said they're not even big talk radio fans and they love your show. So that's
wow.
that's just very cool.
That's God's blessing us to expand.
That's exactly right. All right, let's jump into this topic here. Dipper number one, which technically follows some of what I talked about with Senator Tuberville. But the right sizing of government, and by the way, that is the term. The term is not, you know, downsizing or firing people or anything. No, it's we're talking about the right sizing of government because government is bloated. And when government is bloated, at some point, it gets to a point that it has to right-size itself in order to get back into equilibrium because there's only so much that the taxpayers can fund. And then when the return on the investment to the taxpayers begins to be depleted to the point that there's no longer a return on investment, so to speak, then just like the business sector, at some point, government has to go, wow, we grew too much. And in this case, President Trump believes we grew too much. And I would agree with that. I mean, here's an example. I got a story from Fox. You may have seen this. Kelly Loeffler. You know what I'm talking about, JP? Did you see the video of Kelly Loeffler walking through the Small Business Administration offices?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was nothing but empty.
Nobody there.
Mm-mm.
Like, what? Why is that okay? Short answer, it's not. So Kelly Loeffler used to be U.S. Senator. Now she's the head of the Small Business Administration appointed by President Trump. She actually toured her own agency. Like, okay, I'm here. Here. Where's everybody? Body. No. Where are? There's nobody there. Just a big, fat, empty room. Bunch of cubicles, nobody in them. And oh, by the way, as she filmed it walking around, you take a look and you realize ain't nobody been there in a while. There's nobody's personal effects, no pictures of their kids, nothing. It's like empty cubicles. And there's no telling how much we've been paying as a government for that office building as it sits there doing nothing while everybody allegedly works from home. Now, I am of the firm belief that you can get something done at home once in a while. And telework, it has its place. It is not every day. There's a lot to be said about the accountability that comes from actually coming in to a studio, to an office, to a place of business, and being present and looking somebody in the eye. It brings more accountability. It brings a greater work ethic. It brings a higher level of professionalism because you actually have to get up in the morning, make your bed, brush your tooth, put on something professional, and actually get to work on time, as opposed to rolling out with bedhead and sitting there in your flannel pants doing a Teams meeting and talking about things that you have to stop talking about because you're about to get into confidential or classified information. So Kelly Loeffler, she just made it said, okay, you know, this is going to stop. And it is. She says, it's my second day here at the SBA. I could not be more excited, so I thought I'd take a walk. And what I found is exactly what's been said. 90% of our employees working from home, and that ends on Monday. So today was the return to work day. Huh. How about that? Return to work day. Now, I guarantee you, if we said there will be no paycheck unless you return to work, we would suddenly have a mass influx of bodies, the public transportation would be full again, and oh, by the way, everybody would be showing up on time. Well, guess what? They actually did that. Daily Wire. Dateline yesterday. Elon Musk, overseeing the Trump administration's Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, took aim at Democrats in Congress when he revealed that federal employees would receive an email requesting they explain what they got done in the past week. So if you haven't heard it, which I'd be surprised if you didn't, but the story is that apparently the email went out. Some say it's an overreach. I say it's not. I recognize that there were some caveats that had to go with this, but the email went out that said, you will reply to this email and tell us what you accomplished in the past week. And by the way, this went out to every federal employee. Like, all God's children who got a federal paycheck got an email. And some are saying, how dare they ask what they did last week? How dare they not ask what they did last week? You mean somebody doesn't know? You mean there's already, like, there's people that don't want to tell us? Well, the only ones who don't have to tell us are the thing people doing classified work. So you did have a few that got redirected. Okay, hey. If you're working classified files, if you're working on sensitive issues, or it deals with personnel matters that have private information, you can't say that in the email. Everybody else, hey, if you got an email, you should answer the email. How long will that take? JP, how long would it take, do you think, to do an email that says, this last week I did blah, blah, blah?
It shouldn't take long if you're actually doing work.
Yeah, you know? Like you can actually remember what you did. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make something up. You're not running it through Grok trying to tell you what you did.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, happened.
I know. I saw Elon tweet something about, he typed in Grok, like, tell me how to tell my employer I'm doing something when I'm actually not. And it gave it a list of five, you know, stuff.
The five things that could not otherwise be independently confirmed. Independently, in other words, no one can argue with me if I say I did these things. Yeah.
I think, obviously, not the entire government shouldn't be operating like a private organization or company.
Sure.
But there's obviously parts like this that, you know, your monologue last week, we talked about we deserve better from government. The only way to do that is to actually get on them and make them do work sometimes. So instead of just letting them, you know, do whatever, and the bureaucrats and all that can just sit back and just hold a position without doing much. It's like, that's not going
to
cut it.
JP, do you listen to my monologues?
I did, yeah. I mean, I sit right here when I do them, so.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And this shouldn't be rocket science.
And if a guy who runs SpaceX, Tesla, and all those successful companies, yeah, I think he knows a thing or two about what it takes to get stuff done.
Well, here's the thing, too. He said this. He said, part of the waste, fraud, and abuse we believe we're uncovering is that there are any number of people collecting paychecks, or paychecks being collected in their name, or people who have quit on the job and they're doing other jobs. This happens. They're doing other jobs and still collecting their federal paycheck. They're gaming the system by pretending they're at work when they're really not. And so if they're not checking their emails, they won't know they got this directive. And they won't realize, oh, crap, I better say something. And if that happens, they should be put on administrative leave while we figure out whether they're even needed anymore. And oh, by the way, if we find out that they were literally moonlighting during daylight hours, listen, I know a guy who was a defense contractor, and he was remote working during COVID. And they could see, because they have remote login capabilities on his systems, they could see that he was actually not doing the work he was billing his client for. And he got fired, and he should. I know another guy who, I mean, like, I know a bunch of bad guys, but I knew another guy who they could see he was streaming a video while he had his government systems open. Now, his excuse was, streaming the video kept my computer from locking up, and that's why it was streaming down in the corner. Okay,
sure.
Then again, maybe your government software was down in the corner and you were watching a movie. All said and done, that kind of accountability, that should be expected.
Mm-hmm.
But what we don't think is happening is that level of accountability to much of the federal workforce that has not been required to show up for work for years. They just got a free pass. Now, the private sector during COVID, what did we do? We took it on the chin.
Mm-hmm.
The private sector took it on the chin. People lost their businesses. People lost their jobs. And then you even had some in government service who lost their jobs because they didn't get the COVID shot, you know. And all that to say, Musk's email is not near as scary as they make it out to be. But it is exposing a side of bureaucracy that does not want accountability. That's the important point. This email literally just brought to bear the fact that, guess what? You have a boss. And that boss says, hey, all I need is a simple email. It'll show me you're still alive and you're doing something. Tell me what it was you did. I doubt very seriously that they're going to chase you down and say, you only said two things, we wanted three. They're not going to do that. They're looking to see who's actually going to respond, first of all. And then secondly, did you mention anything gainful? And then one day, if they decide to double check, they'll have the email where you said you did this, and they'll go back and see whether you did that. But right now, the main thing is, answer the freaking email. This is not hard. In fact, the private sector, we have to do that kind of stuff all of the time. And guess what? The vast majority of government does not have tenure. And I don't want anybody to lose their job. I'm sorry if that, I'm not trying to sound heartless. What I'm trying to say is this. The government employees are not tenured elitists. They should not be given special privileges. They should not be allowed to avoid the appearance of propriety and professionalism that the rest of the world has to. Lawyers have to show up in court wearing a coat and tie. It ain't hard. You know, people have to show up at the plant on time and clock in, or they lose their shift. Taxi drivers, they don't get paid unless they pick you up at the spot and take you to, from point A to point B. We should expect no less from the people who receive a check based on our tax dollars. Just answer the freaking email. All right, we got more on this stuff. Right-sizing government? I got all kinds of thoughts. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. Hey, by the way, JP, being the guy that he is, has already posted the interview with Senator Tuberville on X. Where is it at? My X account or where?
So it's on your Twitter account, and the podcast is up on Spotify or Apple Music, whatever you the interview is posted on there as well. I think I'll check it out.
Wow, you are the man. Is that why you jumped up and ran out of the room and went to your office real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right. So, yeah, you can go check it out at Senphil Williams. That's me on Twitter/X. And you can also check it out on the other platforms he's talking about. As we live stream the show, he's making sure that you guys have access to things that, just happened 5 minutes ago. Hey, let me go to the phones real quick. Wolverine Dan's on the phone. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Well, very well. I just got some new equipment, and I hit a bucket of balls and getting ready for tomorrow morning to play 18, so I'm excited.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you what, you got the weather for it right now. It's like spring out there.
Yeah, well, I called not for that. I got two quick calls. First one, Bongino is the, what is he, deputy of the FBI?
Yeah, deputy director.
Deputy director. So he answers to Patel, yes.
That would be true, yes.
Okay, all right. So I think that's a pretty good, first off, thank you for your service as usual. I do it all the time.
Thanks, man.
Do what you do. But that's really good that, and I really like Bongino. So I think this is going to hold well for us.
Yeah, I think it is too. I think it's going to hold well, not just for the nation, but also for Alabama, because Bongino already has somewhat of an Alabama connection.
And he's friends with Dale Jackson. That's a minus. I'm only kidding. I love Dale. Hey, listen. My last thing is you said God makes these choices, and you know you are 100% correct. And you know what also God does? He gives you things in life that you should take the time to notice them. And when I say that, it's my little granddaughter. I had her over the weekend, and she likes to play make believe. And I'm all about make-believe. Kids love that because you interact with an adult. They want that. And for me to get down to her level, it doesn't take much because, you know, I'm a kid at heart anyway. But here's what we did. It was really funny. At the end of our bed, we have a chest that we put our linen in. And it's cushioned and everything. Really nice. And she's laying down. And my wife was supposed to be the doctor because she likes the doctor surgery stuff. So I said, Gigi, that's my wife's name, you know, grandmother name. Hey, Gigi, what kind of surgery are you doing? And she says, brain surgery. And I was making, this is Meatloaf Monday, right?
Right.
Well, I was making a meatloaf, and I rounded it out. It's big enough, it looks like a brain that would fit in her skull. So I said, close your eyes, Charlotte.
Oh, no.
Gigi's going to do brain surgery. So when she opened her eyes, they go, here's your brain. and she just about lost it. She thought it was her brain.
I think you're freaking out your grandchild. What I think.
I'm playing games. Come on. Well, it's great to play with my grandchildren. I love them. God bless me with wonderful family. And you know, there's a saying on my dresser. It says, you know, a wonderful family is just an early heaven.
Ah, that's good stuff, man. That's great stuff. Right. Wolverine Dan, as always, brother, appreciate you. All right, let me get some phone text messages here real quick. Carol from Athens texts in and says, I don't understand why everything has to come to Huntsville, Alabama. Why can't they just spread the wealth to other areas in Alabama with the infrastructure and required government employees to come back into work that just don't have the infrastructure to support that? Well, Carol, because, first of all, I think some will. I think you're going to wind up seeing some of North Alabama, it'll fan out. Some of the supporting elements will come from, you know, surrounding communities, Decatur, Athens, you know, down, you know, all the way out to Harvest. I mean, there's going to be housing. There's going to be, you know, ancillary services. But I think you're going to see other parts of the state that are going to pick up too, because once this happens, then there's going to be new training that takes place at Anniston Army Depot and new things that go on down in Mobile at the Port Authority. And so I do believe you're going to see some tangential effects. Once you see one part of the state spark, it does nothing but good things to the rest of the state. Now, I'd love to see it. We're in Gadsden right now. Gadsden desperately needs some new blood when it comes to major employment. We're not there yet. I think something's coming, but we're not there yet. Alex Mathen says, I hardly ever text two times in a show in the same day, but for crying out loud, those of us who've been in the classroom had to submit lesson plans. In combat, you had after-action reports. What's the big deal? This is the most low-level request for some measure of accountability that a person could have to face, and we are paying their paycheck. Allie, you just said it. Thank you very much. Perfectly done. John C. from Madison says, a number of federal government employees, do you think they're elite? Many think they are accorded special privileges. Well, that's what we need to get away from, is this patronage class. Jeremy from Madison says, somebody give me the Doge reply-only email address so I can tell him what I did last week. Maybe I can get a better job. And then Mike from Florence says, on your bump music, if you keep switching between Boston and Aerosmith, you ought to at least play the whole song. Classic rock. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And yes, even big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I got a bunch of y'all texting in. We'll get those in a moment. And I also see that I got somebody held on their line during the break, so let me just grab it. Line one, Daryl from Huntsville. Hey, Daryl, how you doing?
Hey, Carl, how are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good.
The news is almost like Christmas anymore. Every morning or every night, you're getting some kind of new present to open up in the news. Anyway, I have a couple of questions. One kind of dovetails into the other. You have Cash Patel, so I've heard that's probably going to be made interim director of ATF.
Right.
They bring on Bongino. Both are very dynamic, in the know individuals. Could this be the beginning works of a merger between ATF and FBI? You know that would save a lot of money. Make ATF the regulatory agency that it, I guess, with firearms and everything else, that it was meant to be. The other question, more local, I heard something in the news about some Democrat politician trying to put a bill forward that would allow a third party to make a statement of this person is a danger to himself or whatever without a hearing for a gun grab, and then you would have to go to court. They would get your guns. Then you would have to go to court and prove the fact that, no, I'm not a danger to society. So those are two things that I just kind of bubbled up and thought about.
Yeah.
And wanted your opinion.
Thanks, Daryl. And by the way, those aren't really on the topics that I'm on right now, but I'll touch on them since you asked them. Daryl, thanks for the call. Go ahead and hang up, and I'll talk for a second and appreciate you. Yeah, we'll try and stay on topic most of the time, but I will address those because the ATF thing, it does potentially go to the streamlining, the right sizing of government that I'm talking about right now. If you have not heard, and Daryl just mentioned it, the ATF is without a director right now. The previous director resigned or was let go, I can't recall. But I do know this, Kash Patel, who has now been confirmed as the director of the FBI, has been tapped as the acting interim director of the ATF. That occurred to me too. I mean, I thought, are they looking at a merger here? Here's what you got to watch. I don't know for a fact, but I believe that both of those agencies are creatures of statute, meaning they were legislatively created by Congress. And so the executive branch cannot just merely do away with something that is a creature of statute. If there was something that was generated by an executive order, like, for instance, USAID was originally created by executive order. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Department of Education was originally created by executive order. Then they can be undone by executive order. Now, is there a game? Is there a game on kind of attitude to streamline government? Certainly. And are we looking at whether ATF and FBI have overlapping missions and one could become a subset of the other? Certainly. I mean, how many years have we seen the Marine Corps being absolutely an independent and yet really not independent branch of the Navy, right? It works. You can have your own culture. You can have your own mission set. You can have your own pieces, parts, and still be considered a subset of another organization. So to answer your question, I don't know. I'm not privy to those conversations. I could see it happening. As for the other thing, what you're talking about is called a red flag law. You watch out for those. Liberal states love them right now. Not in Alabama. We're not going to have red flag laws at this time, but always keep your eyes open. But some are passing local and state laws that are called red flag laws, meaning somebody saw you as having a problem, decided they needed to report you because they didn't think that you were safe and that you might be a danger to yourself or others, and that's all it took. And then the police could seize your weapons just in case, because you were a red flag on the record. So red flag laws are an absolute violation of constitutional liberties. And some say, we're about making the streets safe. You're not allowed to just pretend that constitutional liberties don't exist. All right? You have to work within the boundaries of the law. Always err on the side of liberty. All right, let me jump back in. Going back to the topic of right-sizing government, let me tell you about a couple things that also happened. And I'll try and wrap this thing up here pretty soon. But the whole thing about the email going out saying, please respond. I mean, I looked at, there was one post a while ago of a young female worker in some government office. She didn't say what, but she had time to go on a CNN show and talk about how dastardly this was. How dare she be required to, I mean, I was given an email and I only got 48 hours notice to answer the email. My God, woman, you have set the bar so low. I'm not sure how you do anything productive if that is your measure of what is hard. I mean, I've had to write appellate briefs in less time than that. I've had to knuckle down and get something done. I've had to issue op orders in the military. You get a frago, you just work with what you got and put a whole mission set together. And this federal worker meltdown about, I got an email Saturday afternoon. I was infuriated. I was told I had to explain what I did. I only had 48 hours to respond. How about you just recognize that the accountability that is required of most people in the world is slightly higher than what you're used to, apparently, but you need to just pony up an email. Now, there are those who are already trying to trumpet. This is, look, we're already getting pushed back. Even Trump's own people are pushing back. Well, townhall.com is addressing that. No, it's not the same thing. We are seeing people that handle classified information being reminded, do not respond to that with classified data. Don't go out on the open source systems in the Nippernet, they call it, the non-secure internet. Don't go out there and say, I did these things, as long as you're asking, because you can't divulge classified sensitive data, no foreign type data, no foreign, you know, entity type data, or for that matter, personnel matters. Now, you can certainly allude to them. And how about you just do that? How about you just say, I reported for work on so-and-so dates. I did these things. I worked on several projects which are classified, but I'll be glad to explain them at a later date. And oh, by the way, I handle sensitive personnel matters, but I did handle 19 employee complaints and yada, yada, yada. Say it. Just say it. You don't have to name all the secure information. But one of the things that also happened this weekend in terms of right-sizing government is also, in my opinion, about riding the ship of state, if you will, the military. The military. Did you see, JP? The generals began dropping off.
Yep.
This past weekend.
I did see that.
I mean, like Friday night, right? And they started at the very top. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General C.Q. Brown. But wait, you can't do that. Why can't they do that? Does anybody know why they can't do that? Last I checked, the commander-in-chief's in charge of the military, and they serve at his pleasure, right? By the way, General C.Q. Brown, no one's taken away from him, well, yet, but no one's taken away from him. In fact, Hegseth as Secretary of Defense, Trump as President of the United States, commander-in-chief, they both issued glowing statements about him and said thank you for your service to the country. The man has served for 41 years. 41 years. Does anybody think he's going to lose his retirement? There was nowhere else for him to go. He'd peaked out. He was at the pinnacle of his profession. There is nowhere left for him to be promoted to. He didn't lose a job. No. He's going to the House with a full retirement that, by the way, that pension's going to be snazzy. And he's going with 4 stars on his shoulder as chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who, by the way, was extremely woke. He was. He knew this was coming. As soon as November elections occurred, you got to know that he began looking for his retirement house. And he and the Mrs. were going to go, you know, basically set up shop. He's already applied for his terminal leave. He's already collected up his, his back pay for, sick leave and all that he had built up. He's already checked in and made sure that all of his DD-214s in correct order. And he's already been approached by 19 different defense contractors, I guarantee. So, all said and done, General C.Q. Brown's going to be fine. And Trump deserves to have a general at the helm that he believes he wants. So the idea that somehow this is wrong, get over yourselves. They need something to scream about. But they can't scream hard. He serves at the pleasure of the commander-in-chief, and he had 41 years, and you know what? He knew it was coming. Now, there are a few others who may not have known it was coming. Chief of Naval Operations, Lisa Franchetti. She was also removed Friday. Lisa Franchetti, who was very unimpressive. There were a number of shipboard accidents on her watch. The very first thing I believe she did as the Chief of Naval Operations appointed by Biden was to issue a directive saying that the Navy is allowed to walk around with their hands in their pockets. No fooling. We used to call that Air Force gloves, by the way. Army always... pockets were where you could put your knife and you could keep things and reach in there and get them if you needed them, but you did not walk around with your hands in your pockets when you were in uniform. Air Force, like I said, we called it Air Force gloves. Yeah, soldier, quit wearing those Air Force gloves. What's wrong with you? But the Navy, they actually got a directive. It was a kinder, gentler Navy. We're going to break glass ceilings. If you want to put your hands in your pockets, that's fine, says the chief, who no longer has a job. And I got this piece from, I actually pulled this off of Navy News. Admiral Lisa Franchetti and General James Slife, respectively, are both gone. Where was Slife? What was his job? I don't remember what his job was. But we've also got the new incoming tapped Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Have you heard his call sign? His last name is Kane. His call sign was Raisin.
I did see that, Raisin, yeah.
Raisin Kane.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, boy, it was Raisin Kane. But Trump thinks pretty highly of him. He says, I'm nominating Air Force Lieutenant General Dan Raisin Kane to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Kane's an accomplished pilot, national security expert, a successful entrepreneur, and a warfighter with significant interagency and special operations experience. He apparently is one of the chief architects of Trump's efforts to defeat ISIS during his last term. And I believe he was actually in retirement, and Trump's bringing him back out of retirement. Is that right? Do you know?
I do not know that, no.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But he also fired several top JAG officers, which is interesting. And I'm not sure how this works. I got this off Breitbart. Breitbart. Dateline today. Dateline Sunday. Trump is now requesting nominations for the Chief Judge Advocates General for the Army, Navy, and the Air Force. So basically the top service lawyers got their marching papers. Trump announced his decisions on Truth Social, and I'm trying to find where it said. I know I saw it. Well, we don't know. All we know is they're gone. But you know what this means? They didn't start. I was talking to a young officer about what is happening with the potential for, you know, lopping off some of the generals and the admirals, the flag officers. And this particular young officer was saying, I don't know what that's going to do to my career. Does that mean that it's going to be something that will impede my ability for growth? Here's my thought on it. And all you green suiters out there who are listening to the show and people who have family in the military, my opinion is, A, it's going to make the force more ready. It's going to bring in a new mentality, a warfighter, a warrior ethos. So those things, yes. I think it's also going to open the door, if you will, for junior ranks to accelerate or to basically promote up. The matriculation of officers to the senior ranks is going to be freed up because you don't have people who become entrenched, uniformed bureaucrats sitting at the top level, occupying the space that junior officers will never get promoted to. Which also means, by the way, you're going to have people who are more contemporary to the ranks coming up into the star level. And that's nothing but good. So I really think it's going to wind up opening things up for our military. Right-sizing government, this is an important deal. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. When we get back, though, I'm going to tell you a personal anecdote about watching the right-sizing of government. Because we did it here in Alabama not so long ago. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Making common sense like a superpower. Hey, coming up top of the hour, we'll come back and Becky Gerritsen from the Eagle Forum is going to be here. Give us an update on where that bill about the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs is going. But speaking of Alabama departments, let me just, as I talk about this right sizing of government thing, let me just touch back on something in about 3 or 4 minutes here before we go to the break. So all of y'all know I got elected in 2010 as part of the Republican wave to come into the Alabama State House and take it back from Democrats who had had the majority control for 136 straight years. I mean, it was like, good Lord, since Reconstruction. And so I was part of the freshman class of legislators who came in with an intent to do a number of things, one of which was to right-size government. And so we put a number of measures in place. We had hiring freezes. We allowed for some to be capped. And then we had what we called natural attrition. We would not refill spots. We didn't do a big reduction in force, but we began putting things in place. We actually consolidated several departments, which was sparking all kinds of controversy. We did a ton of stuff that I won't go into right now. But one of the things that really struck me was the abuse of what I would call the state government employee system by Democrats. They had plussed up some of the retirements to the point that it was obscene. And I don't regret anybody having a retirement. What I'm saying is they created incentive packages that were built on the union getting their say that no one in their right mind should have ever given because we couldn't afford it. We were putting $1 billion a year into the retirement to plus it up because the return on investment was not there and we were mandated to have an 8% return. Who gets an 8% return anywhere in the world? So there was a lot of things that we began trying to deal with and address. But one of the things that really struck me was how many employees we found out that just in the legislature we didn't know were there. What are you talking about, Phil? Well, what I'm talking about is this. The Democrats had assigned themselves, in many cases, special staff that the Republicans didn't even know they had. It was crazy. And then they also began to not take care of business. And when someone rolled off of said special staff working out there in some Democrat's district that nobody could see in Montgomery, and the paycheck was still being issued to them in paper form, believe it or not. It would get mailed back because that person was no longer there. We found an actual, in the pro tem's office, we found a drawer of uncashed paychecks because of the, I'm talking a lot of paychecks because the staff weren't there, but rather than actually deal with it, they were just like pocketing the paychecks, or excuse me, putting the paychecks in the drawer. This is madness. One of the stories that really got me was Senate Pro Tem Del Marsh, who walked across the street and found out that he had an extra office he didn't know about in the Capitol building, not in the State House, but in the Capitol. And he was checking it out to see what he's got over there. What is this? And there were several little old ladies, I say little old ladies, they felt like it. They were working in a side office there, and he had to keep kind of cutting through to get to this other office. And he finally one day apologized, and I'm sorry to keep cutting through y'all's office. And they said, we work for you. And he said, I'm sorry, who are you? There were employees assigned to his office he didn't even know were there. Y'all, there are so many people squirreled away in holes in basements and in offices, even in Montgomery. Right-sizing government is about trying to run it more like a business and recognizing that you can't just always have what you want just because it's dollar signs that are in the pot, because those dollar signs came from a taxpayer. There, I've said my piece. We're going to move on. Coming up next, Becky Gerritsen calling in from the Eagle Forum. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.